Hello, and welcome to our show, Universal Soul Love. This is Lana Love.
And this is David Love.
Lovely to have you here today.
Yep, we're operating from different locations today.
That's right, we're all on different phones.
We have our guest today, Zephyr Khan, an Australian businessman, mentor, and personal growth and author. Lana, would you like to introduce
our
guest?
We're very happy to have. Yes, so we're very happy to have Zephyr with us today. Zephyr is a very special person who has really achieved amazing things during his life. He has written 36 books on personal and business development, and 22 books have already been printed. He speaks regularly on topics to do with motivation, success. Zephyr is a member of the Rotary Club, and he's done a lot of things within that organisation. He is a member of the Fred Hollows Foundation, which looks after the blind, allowing them to have operations to give them sight back. He's been involved in lots of other fundraising activities, and he's built a lot of business stuff right from scratch. I believe he actually started with a taxi company and then built from there. So I'm very happy to introduce Zephyr, and
yes,
I think
absolutely.
We have a lot of topics we can discuss today. How are you, Zephyr?
Welcome, Zephyr. Thank you for coming on our show.
Good. Thank you, Lana. Thank you.
We're doing this a little bit differently today, where we're all in different locations, so this may be a little challenging, as it always is in life. You know how that is.
It's a bit tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is really exciting to try to do this way. Zephyr, why don't you tell us about your background and your experiences and how you came to where you are now in your life and what you're doing?
Yeah, it was basically been of my move to Australia in 1985, and my first job was as cleaner in one of the restaurants. Then I was promoted. I became kitchen hand. Then I started driving taxi, you know, third job. Then I started a taxi tuition center from my one-bedroom unit with the investment of $14, both a whiteboard and a marker. Cutting the long story short, I became the largest in Australia. Then the whole this operation I sold to one of the banks, Macquarie Bank, and then I gone into the property industry, you know, and, you know, I start buying lots of properties under option, over $500 million worth of properties I bought under option. Basically,
wow.
I studied your Donald Trump lot, learned from him. He's my good teacher, I would say. And then came to the medical industry, because we in Australia, we had lots of issues. People are waiting long queues going to the public hospitals for the Category 4 and 5. Category 4 and 5 means small things, non-life-threatening situations. Then all the medical centers are closed at night, and people have no choice except going to the public hospitals. And the hospitals, when they see the patient is not, their life is not in danger, they make them wait 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. So I started one company called Dial a Home Doctor, dahd.com.au, Dial a Home Doctor, and you know, started with one.
That's a very catchy
now,
name.
Over 90 doctors we are covering.
Mm.
Yeah, and we are covering more than 700 suburbs right now, sending doctors in home. Yeah. It's a wonderful achievement.
And that's a really novel concept, isn't it?
Health minister even endorsed our company. Yeah.
Mm. That's a very novel concept here that I haven't seen before, and it's. And it's very cost-effective, and you're delivering services to people in rural areas who don't have any, like you said. So you're sort of identifying a need here and fulfilling that need, a great need. That's very impressive, and you've been very successful with this. And, you know, we've been speaking about this project, and I'm really amazed at what you've done already with it.
In the last 2 years, we have become the second largest company in the whole Australia in the last 2 years. And the government loves it. People love it because people are sitting at home, watching television, having a cup of tea and coffee, and hear the doctors come to their doorsteps. And bank manager is happy as well. So it's a win-win situation for everybody.
Yes, and that's what's really important in business, is that it's mutually beneficial on all sides, and that all sides do win in business, I believe, and that that's, I think, I wish...
Exactly.
You know, that's
the way and I guess it also has...
I would say, only the businesses make a difference where everybody involved is the winner. This is a one-line statement. Everyone involved is the winner. Have to be ethical, have to be legal, have to be wonderful for the community. And I think it's no reason, we are not successful. We all talk about competition. I believe competition is a great thing. We should not think of competition. We should think of being a little different than competition. We can't ignore competitions, but that makes you different, from the crowd if you do something different than average company is doing, average person is doing. Yeah.
Sure, I could probably say a lot about...
I like that. It's a great catchphrase that everyone is a winner. I really like that. And I guess also the customer feels pretty satisfied. I mean, you can have your pizza delivered to the door. You can have your doctor delivered to the door. It's great.
That it is. It's really good that how you've formulated this plan.
Yes. And what you do is specialists after 6 p.m. and 6 p.m. to 8 in the morning, Monday to Friday, Saturday from midday, Sundays and public holidays, 24 hours. The whole idea is we advise to all the potential patients, you must go to your own GP. Do not ring us. But after hours, when your GP is asleep, we are awake.
And the GP is the primary care doctor
in
America.
After hours,
Is that correct? A general practitioner, which is comparable to our primary care doctors in America, and referrals go through the general practitioners to the specialists. Is that right?
But we are not specialists, and we don't follow up our patients. What we do is anyone category 4 and 5, which is small issues, not the major life-threatening issues, if we have very highly trained staff, and they triage calls. If there's a life-threatening situation, they advise them, stop, ring 000. We are not to save lives, but hospitals are, ambulances are, but we are for the small things which is non-life-threatening issues. Where people can
triage.
Wait 1 hour, 2 hours patiently at their home, yes.
Sure, triage, and that makes
Tell
sense.
Me,
you're putting the resources where they belong and where they're most... doctors are most needed and where their talents can be used effectively. Lana, do you have any questions?
Tell me, Zafar, what strikes me is, first of all, you must be a person with a lot of energy.
The thing is, as you know that our thoughts generate chemicals. This is not my theory. This is physics theory. Our thoughts generate chemicals, but those chemicals are bossy chemicals. Bossy chemicals means give instructions to the rest of our body. If we think, we are lucky, our immune system and rest of the body will try to prove, yes, we are lucky. If we think we are unlucky, the same thing, our immune system and rest of the body will prove, yes, we are unlucky in any situations. And the sooner we think, we have energy and I love my work. I have energy and I love my work. Even if somebody don't have energy, you see 100 times a day, see what happens after 30 days. You will have the energy.
That's actually right. So I guess the more accurate way of saying this would be you're a person with energetic thoughts and your thoughts have created this energy and motivation. That's very true.
This is the mind-body connection, basically, that we're talking
about.
How the mind, thoughts, and feelings affect the body. And Yusufar has written quite a few books on that, about 36 e-books so far.
You spoke about motivation. With the due respect, I have just a little bit different point of view on motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Motivation?
Okay.
I believe if somebody has a lot of motivation, he talks about motivation, he listens to motivational talks, he reads motivational stuff. I believe, this is my personal belief, I respect everybody else, it got nothing to do with success. Because when you have a motivational state of mind, you can't keep up that state of mind 24 hours. Because you motivational state of mind means you have burning desire to achieve something. And sooner you have this kind of mind, motivational state of mind, 24 hours, you can't keep up. So you'll end up in the hospital. Maybe in the mental hospital if someone tries to keep 24 hours. But the three people have motivational state of mind, but at the same time, they are inspired, calm, and cool, start taking action. Motivation is linked with action. This is wonderful. This will bring the results. This will you can perform miracles with that motivation, which is linked with actions on a daily basis.
So this is a very fluid energy that kind of ebbs and flows. And it's an energy that we utilize, and we need our downtime after we've gone through a period of high energy and drive that's affected our bodies. And so, yeah, okay. Very exciting.
And when we talk about motivation, of course, we think of success as well. According to my point of view, once again, you know, like having knowledge, having persistency, having hope, having a different kind of, power of failure and power of this, all this is fine. According to my knowledge, to be successful, you got to have one formula, one full ingredients. Like, just for example, if somebody wants to build a house and somebody wants to say, oh, toilet is very important in the house, and he has written the importance of toilet in the house. He is 100% accurate. But just the toilet itself will not make the full house.
Right.
Maybe another person has written a book, or importance of kitchen in the house. This is accurate statement, correct? It is very important to have a kitchen in the house. Same
so
bedroom, doors, itself on its own. But one point itself will not complete the whole house. You've got to have a doors, you've got to have a bathroom, you got to have a kitchen, you got to have a sleeping room, and the whole thing will make the full house. So the same way, not one single point is compulsory for the success. It had to be a combination of
different things. You need your action
things.
Plan.
Yes.
You need your action plan, your blueprint for creating that house, that entire house, that full plan, that step-by-step, which is what I know you do. You have your step plan for manifesting, which I know Lana's kind of knows a lot about. Lana spent a lot of time studying manifesting and with me as well. And I understand what you're saying. We've spoken with you about this as well. And it's very, very interesting what you've done in your e-books. Lana, do you have a question?
One more example. I would like to pinpoint is just if somebody wants to bake a cake, you know, flour is very important, sugar is very important, water is very important. Those things are very important to bake a cake, but one thing will not bake a cake. You've got to have the full, you know, ingredients in there. Like, just for example, I would say to be successful, you've got to have a first step is create awareness. You can have awareness. Then you learn how our brain works and making the brain work in your favor and willingness to change. You know, any issues come, you say, what is the solution? Rather say, oh, bloody hell, what
has happened? Absolutely. It always starts with awareness, questioning our thoughts and feelings, yes. Lana, did you have a question? I'm sorry, it's hard to coordinate it this way, but we're doing our best.
It is a bit hard to hear each other. I think we've enough motivation. We can make it happen.
No, it's very good. It's very interesting. Go ahead.
fabulous.
I'm just looking at your website, Zafar. If I can just tell our listeners, it's www.zafarkhan.com. And my God, Zafar, I am absolutely blown away by the number of books you have. When did you have the time and inspiration to write them all?
Actually, there was a time I lost my the whole business. There was many years back. I lost my business and I was thinking of even there's no point living in this world. That was a time, you know, interesting time.
Wow.
And then I did lots of research and that was the beautiful part. And then that was the basically time when I wrote. Right now, I write small articles basically on a weekly basis, you know. And now this my talk and so on. I don't charge. This is my passion. I make money through my business, but through my talk and, you know, speeches, I do not charge. I did not make this one as a profession, as money-making profession yet.
And so, Zafar, can you tell us, I'm sorry, I may be interrupting Lana. I can't tell. Lana, did you want to continue with this? Okay. Zafar, could you tell us about some of your wealth-building strategies and your STEP programs and, you know, in your e-books and how, you know, how you've applied them in your life, I think might be a good question that our listeners might be interested in hearing about.
Yes, I think according to my point of view, there are five steps to achieve anything in your life, start to end, five steps. And the first step is basically to create awareness. And under create awareness, there are three subheadings like we got to understand how our brain works. How our brain works, like whatever we think, you know, as I was mentioning before, our immune system tries to take instructions. So it's best we think right and how our brain works and making the brain work in your favor. In your favor, like if there's any issue, asking what is the solution, how I can achieve it, how I can do it, asking how and what questions. And obviously, there's a willingness to change as well. So this, the whole combination is create awareness. This is step number one. And
absolutely.
To me, step number two is you stay 1 hour alone, on your own. No telephone, no TV, no children, no partner, nobody, no internet. In that 1 hour alone, you see what exactly you want to achieve, exact target, and plan to achieve, and make that plan into small baby steps. I always recommend 20 baby steps. Then step number three, I would say, is knowing your goal and plan. Knowing your goal and plan. And again, there are three steps. One is we got to have basic knowledge. We got to have a teacher. If you have any questions, you know, to be answered, so the teacher can answer your question. And third, and if you find a mentor or coach, this is wonderful. If you find a really good mentor, your 99.9% problem is finished, you know. So issue here is just have to have the basic knowledge to take actions. Not too much knowledge. Do not wait for the further knowledge to take action. While you have basic knowledge, start taking actions. So this was number three. And number four is engage on a daily basis, you know, where you have focused actions, consistent actions, and massive actions. And the last step and fifth step, which is my favorite, that is miracle with 20 disappointments. So you got to do something. Again, there are three things. You know, persistency, you got to be persistent. If there's a slap on your face, there's no point giving up, making U-turn, look for the detour. Still step, slap on the face, detour. Keep going. Substitute ways. And it's impossible not to be successful. Usually, I believe minimum target for 20 times. To achieve same thing in a different way, you can't achieve. Next. At least 20 times. When you do 20 times, either you will have achieved. If not, you will be knowing what is the best way to achieve. Then each time, you got to have hope. You know, if it slap on your face, you have a hope. It will work next time. And the last point, which is very interesting and beautiful, once you achieve it, you share with others. What you give others, you get back. So this is a small five-step system, which I think I have put 200-300 pages on this.
Can I ask you, Zafar, it sounds like I initially had the impression that you were primarily a businessman, an author and speaker, but now it's sounding like you're almost, a metaphysical, spiritual person who's, been able to define the essence of, our consciousness and what it means to manifest.
I wrote one book, Five Steps to Happy Wife and Life. So I wrote one book called Five Steps to Happy Wife and Life, where I basically focus on three things in that book. We have to care about her, we have to appreciate, and we have to respect. These three was my main focus. On that book, excellent, if I say in one sentence, I went through something similar,
I guess, where I did that sort of try again, and I had many business ventures, and you take away from those, the lessons of those of what didn't work, and you move on to create your successes, and that's been very all of those experiences were very valuable to me in what I'm doing now, so I can relate very much to what you just said in those steps, and I went through that process myself. Lena, did you want to go now?
Yes, well, I was just going to, add that... Could you hear me? I was going to add that I'm really interested not only in the awareness, the first steps and the second and the third steps, but dealing with disappointments, that's in psychology, that's very much seen as resilience. And, of course, in life, they've done studies on people to look at what makes people the most successful in terms of their happiness and their ability to, cope with stresses of life. And what they found in, they've done studies with college students over a period of 20 years, and they found that it's not the IQ and it's not the looks, it's not necessarily the charisma or the charm, but it's the EQ, your emotional intelligence, your ability to be resilient in the face of adversity. And I guess that's very much what's encapsulated by that number five, Miracle with 20 Disappointments. I'm very impressed. I love these steps, Zafar. I really do.
Excellent. Yes. Very good.
Wonderful. Yeah. I think maybe should we take a bit of a break now? Perhaps. We'll just take maybe a 1 or 2 minute break and just try to digest this all these wonderful concepts, and then we'll get right back.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, thank you.
Oh, I just like to mention one thing. One thing at the last. You see, obviously, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but I think any issues we have in our life, we try our best to fix it. After taking action, we should forget about it. So what attitude we should have it? And I think we can't have any, depressions and so on. If any issues we have in our lives, we try our best to fix it. After fixing it, we should have ideas. So what? What happens? Who cares?
Because I agree. I go by the as best you can philosophy. You do your best to come up with practical solutions to the problem, and if you don't, you move on from there and you begin again and you create your success once again using new ideas and theories and test them out, and you get it or you don't. It's like you said, it's a try again attitude. Okay.
I love that.
Yes, very good.
Thank
you, Zafar. Excellent. Okay.
Okay, so we'll just take a short break and then we'll be back soon.
Welcome back to Universal Soul
and
Love with David Love. and Lana Love, and we have our guest,
and
Australian Zafra Khan.
Yes. Well, David, I was going to hand over to you. You had a very interesting question.
Okay, yeah. Sure. I had a question from one of our friends earlier, who we were discussing the concept of money and, you know, what is that? And, you know, and I have ideas about that and about how we give meaning and value to money and that, you know, we are the ones who work for the money and so we are the ones who are producing it. And so this concept of money means that there's an unlimited amount of money and there's always money in the world, and that talent and skills and education is what produces that money, and that's within us. And we always have that ability and that creativity to create money at all times. And so we are the ones that are really giving the value and the meaning to money and the things that it produces for us in the world and in our lives. So I just wanted to put that to you, Zafar, and see what you might have to add to that.
Thanks, David. I think, according to my point of view, money is a blessing. As long as it is exactly the same blessing as we have a knife in the kitchen, how we use it. If you have an intention, the money has come, you have to give to churches, you have to give to the temples, you have to give to the poor, you have to give to the Fred Hollows Association, you have to give to the Rotary Club, you have to spend in your community, and obviously charity starts from family, from home, and you look after your family and friends with that money.
Sure.
This is a blessing.
Sure. I agree with you. I do think you give back, and I think it's important to give without expectation and without. I had a spiritual person once tell me, you can give back and you give back threefold and you can expect that money to come back to you. And I said, you know, I think I like to give money without the expectation of that coming back to me, because the universe or whatever higher force you believe in will always meet your needs, and it always has for me. So I agree with you, Zafar, and I think that's a very good principle to follow.
David, if you give money and you have expectations, that is not a blessing. That is a snake. That is bad. That is negative. That is business, you know. And obviously, you do business where you want to make money, but you mention this is my business. But you don't give money away expecting something back, like what I'm talking about in the community organizations and so on. We should not be greedy to get against anything back. We should give and we should share this money, and thinking of this was our obligation to share this money. So then, you know, with expectations, this is very bad. No good for our mind, body, and soul. But once you give money, and basically you're sharing. And the sharing is caring,
really.
And when you share money.
Good money.
That's a very good point, Zafar. I love that. And I guess taking that idea further, I guess in spirituality, there's the ability to reach the point of non-duality, where you understand that you and the world are at one. And so, you know, if you give money away, well, if you are one with the universe, you receive money. In the same way, if someone gives you money, once again, it's the oneness, and there's enough for everyone. So I do.
It is one. You know, when you hurt one person financially or one country financially, such as with economic sanctions, you're really only hurting yourself. You know, when it comes to trade, imports and exports, and that's of course on a global level in the global economy, where you're using trade wars and economic wars to sort of push your agendas, but anyhow, that happens on a personal level as well, and I'm glad that you brought that up, Zafra. That's really good.
Money is a blessing.
Yes, I
love that concept, because so many people have difficulty with money, that there seems to be a bit of a polarization in society. Either people are money hungry and greedy, or people feel that money is dirty. But the idea that money is a blessing and to be shared, it almost has a different vibration about it, you know?
Very good. You know, that kind of answered our friend's question, that money is a blessing. Yes, it's true. It is. Yes, it can be that way. It's a tool for good or for positive. So go ahead, Zafar.
Thing is, once again, you know, as you mentioned about, you know, about, I think Lana was talking about spirituality. I think spirituality is the combination of a few things. But one word is common. To me, once again, this is according to my point of view.
Sure.
Giving is spirituality. Just one word, giving to others.
Giving.
Without, you know, any expectations. Giving. And what is giving? Physical helping others. Physical caring is giving as well. Giving
sure.
money
doesn't have
is
to be
there.
Money.
Helping and appreciating others is there. You know, where other, you think always other person is better than you are. To me, that is spiritualism. Doesn't matter, you know, what level you have. If you think you meet anyone in your life, doesn't matter which color, race, religion, you think
exactly, yes.
all human beings
yes.
are better than you are. To me,
yes.
that is the definition of, you know, spiritualism. This is according to my point of view and giving.
Sure. And I agree. You know, competitiveness can bring out the best in us, and competitive can be a very good thing for business. But in the end, we need to know that there's always enough money and there's always enough in the world to meet everyone's needs, because it's coming from within us. This giving that you're talking about is coming from within us. So it's not in the world, and so this money is a concept, and giving is a concept in a sense, or maybe not. But anyhow, that's good. Lana, did you want to add to that? Or
I was wondering, Zafar, with all these you know, very spiritual concepts and the focus that you place on other people and gratitude and sharing, I would imagine that you probably have a lot of people in your life, or maybe one particular person or experience in your life that particularly inspired you or really made you who you are.
Good question.
I'm wondering whether you might be able to share that with us.
Thank you very much for this great question. Unfortunately, you know, when I just give you one example, when I wanted to have buying property under option concept, when I find out in the whole Australia nobody was there, then, you know, Donald Trump, I found him. I was very much inspired by him. I was very much inspired by Anthony Robbins. You know, they're the two people were, you know, really major. But then I came to the property option side within Australia. What happened was I had no one to take the guidance, because no one ever did these deals before me in a planned manner, in a business manner. Then I came to know one fact. Anyone can become mentor as long as you have dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of failures, and still you keep going and keep going and keep going. Dozens and dozens and dozens of failures. Keep going and keep going and keep going. It makes you mentor yourself on that particular field where you have lots of failures. Because each failure teaches you lesson. So if somebody wants to be mentor, only one line statement, only one way to go is to have lots of failures. I do not mean to focus on failures. I mean is to focus to be successful. But if it happens to be failed and it happens to face failure, you have many of those, you will become mentor yourself.
Can I just add something, Zafar? The failure, of course, is a word, and I choose to use the word experience. And, of course, you do get lessons from those experiences, and you build on them, and you find your success that way, and you have your successful outcomes. And I've had many of those experiences. Many of them, I had many of those ventures and tried many things. Many of them I just didn't like, and so they became those experiences that we sometimes call failures. So I can relate to what you're saying, and it's very important to see it that way, just as you're saying. So, can you give us any specific examples of how you came to your success, your present success, in what you're doing?
I think basically, you know, it was once you have your, obviously to start with, I had lots of failures. I did not know what I was doing. But once I start getting, being successful in different things, you know, and then I came to know that I am doing this, you know, format, creating awareness about anything to achieve something, then, you know, having 1 hour alone, having like goal setting and so on, then having a little bit knowledge and engaging on yourself a daily basis on that one, on a daily basis. And then having a persistence. This formula is unbelievable formula, and you will not find this formula together in any book in the whole entire universe. Obviously, parts are everywhere. Power of failure, power of hope, power of focus, focused action, power of consistent actions, and massive actions. You find these words separate, and they are right. And they are not wrong, they are right. But I believe is this one word itself got nothing to do with success. Had to be in a planned manner, in a full planned manner, you know, with formula, step-wise, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These steps now, which I mentioned, you know, this is my little challenge, a little my suggestion. You apply to any field in your life. You will be successful. You don't need Zafra. You don't need anybody else.
Right.
As long as, you know, go for this format, step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4, step 5.
These are the insights that you've gained from your personal experiences, and this is the you got a new perspective, and you created an action plan for manifesting the life that you really wanted and what you wanted in your life. You identified your goals, and you went about creating a blueprint to bring it to life and bringing your vision to life. And very good, Mana. Do you have any more questions?
Okay. Well, I've just been told that we've basically come to the end of our show, which is such a shame.
So much more to
talk about. But look, maybe I'd just like to perhaps thank Zafar for his time. And I think you're right. I think I haven't heard of that resilience and the persistence focused upon so much. So look, we'll have to say goodbye now. And but Zafar, thank you so much for coming on our show. And once
thank
again,
you,
I think your website is www.zafarkhan.com. And we'd love people to have a look at your website. And thank you very much for talking to us. We're so inspired.
We were.
Goodbye now.
We got some great information.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Lana. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Okay.
Lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Bye.